Yeah, I think that's great. All right, let's shift gears a little bit into our other main topic here, which is have more fun. And as entrepreneurs, what do you think is what's the biggest thing that stops us entrepreneurs from having more fun or enjoying our lives more?
Well, I know you've got a call scheduled with Cameron to cover a lot of the entrepreneurial roller coaster.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't steal any of Cameron's thunder, but you know, when I sat across from him in Las Vegas last year at the Air Combat event, and he started talking about the entrepreneurial roller coaster, the emotional roller coaster that we go on. It was enlightening. I knew we had the high highs and the low lows, but all of the points in between and what you should and shouldn't be doing was really eye-opening to me. And, you know, recognizing that experience as an entrepreneur, you know, that was pretty life-changing for me. So, you know, it's those moments from, you know, from the Maverick Business Adventures. And boy, does this sound like a testimonial. No, I'm not getting paid for this. No, it's just a function of getting exposed to people who have been there, have done that, and it may be that you're able to apply value to them, things that you're good at. You know, I sent feedback to Cameron on some of the things that he's doing, but, you know, I feel like I still owe him for the information that he was able to share with me. And, you know, being able to learn those things and the crazy things that we do, you know, the air combat or taking bad directions from Yannick through the bow of Mexico, you know, that's just the icing on the cake. But as far as keeping from doing fun things, you know, we can spend so much time getting wrapped up in the urgent things as opposed to the important things, and we just need to remember what the important things are and not let the rest of this mess get in the way of that, and remember why we're doing the things that we're doing, and it's for those important parts.
Yeah, and I know you're a big car guy. Is that how you get most of your kicks?
You know, I've got a few toys. The Tesla Roadster is a fun one.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun. I just got back on a motorcycle last year after I hadn't been on one for 20 years, and really enjoyed it. What a psychological shift it is to get back on a bike and emotionally be able to be worked up and go out for a 20-minute ride, and just everything's completely reset. But that's what works for me. Doesn't mean it's going to work for somebody else. But
you think part of that comes from, well, especially for the bike, because you have to be completely disconnected. There's no cell phone. There's no radio, really.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've got Bluetooth on my helmet. Anyway, no, but I don't have it connected to my phone. I've got the Bluetooth connected to the Bluetooth on my riding buddy's helmet, so we can talk for a ride. So
that's great.
I mean, which is it makes a 300-mile ride go like nothing. But
yeah,
you know, when you are on the bike, or you find out what are those things that do let you disconnect. When you're on the bike, you're watching out for everything, whether it's an animal, whether it's a car, you know, the road conditions. You're hyper aware of everything around you. You are not thinking about your latest pay-per-click campaign. You're not thinking about your latest email. You're paying attention. And being able to shut your mind down off of work for a while is such a good reset. And I've looked for different ways of doing that. You know, whether that be flying through a cactus field at 80 miles an hour.
Right.
You're not concerned about those other things. And what it opens your mind up to for the other big thoughts that you need to do. I enjoy playing poker, playing golf, going to watch hockey, which I think there's a game starting pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're gonna jump off here in a couple minutes.
So,
your boy Kane.
But it's important to look for those opportunities to disconnect, to allow your brain just to work in the background on some of this stuff. Because it may be that you're doing 80 miles an hour through a cactus field and something pops up. You know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I guess that's a good segue into the Baja story, since we've been twice together now. Which one do you want to share, Mr. Storm? The first one?
I think just the simple story that all of my Baja stories involve Yannick in some way.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed the one last year. I mean, the one that actually gave me physical pain.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Yeah.
It was,
did you want to give your version of that? I mean,
sure. We you guys, many of you have seen our blog at internetlifestyle.com where we have pictures of the dune buggies and so forth, and there's radios in between each car because they're spread out many times, a mile in between each car, and they only work when you press them down. Only one person can speak, and well, there's a long backstory to it, but needless to say, Brad Fallon decided that he wanted a victory lap when we arrive at the ranch in Ensenada, and they never do victory laps, and which is probably a good reason. And our guide, I can't remember who our guide was at that point. Was it Andrea?
I think we had James.
James. Okay, so James says, yeah, okay, we'll do a, yeah, it was James. He said, yeah, we'll do a victory lap. And so there's four or five cars in our little group, and Tim is in front of me with Kim Jacobson, our operations manager, and there's a big, huge cloud of dust, and all I hear on the radio is, where are we parking? Where are we parking? And until a big crunch, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I ran into Tim and Kim.
Yeah,
pretty hard.
Yeah, there was so much chatter on the radio, I couldn't call back slowing for dust.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we slowed for the dust, Yannick, and had you done that, that would not have been a crunch.
That is true. I got a nice little bill and knocked out a light and dented in the front bumper, so that was fun. But no one was hurt.
And my neck was a little sore, and I got something I can harass you for the rest of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good time, and there's become great stories, and we call them Maverick moments. And we never seem to have a shortage of them on trips.
That is for sure.
That's what makes it fun. Well, let's in the last couple minutes that we got here, let's talk about the third aspect that we always cover, and that's giving back. Or giving forward, as our friend Jim Spanner likes to talk about more.
Mm-hmm.
What's is there a responsibility for an entrepreneur to do anything like that? Is there something that enhances our success when we do that? I mean, what's your philosophy? What's your thoughts around that aspect, Tim?
We've been trying for years to support things that are good in our community. It's not just what's good for the community. It's what's good for the employees. It's good for potential hires. So we support, the pro sports teams in our area, and we're in Rockford, Illinois. So we've got an AHL hockey affiliate. We've got minor league baseball. We've got indoor soccer team. We do the types of events that help make our community a better place to live. Now, Rockford, Illinois, I think was just on, and this isn't the Chamber of Commerce talking, this is, I think it was Forbes magazine, just came up with the most miserable places to live. And I think Rockford was like number 14 in the country.
Interesting.
So here we are, a dot-com growth company in the middle of cornfields in, most depressing place to live in the United States. And we're a bright spot, and we feel compelled to help make it better. And basically, the area that we're in has long been a manufacturing area, and the manufacturing just isn't there anymore. And we're trying to stand out like a sore thumb here with the things that we do from our company culture to our building. We stand out. So one of the things that we're doing this calendar year is, we're looking at what can we do to bring in the big business thinkers that I travel to go see.
Mm.
And we're going to do a series that's targeted at the CEOs, the presidents, the people who can make the change in the companies that work here. I can't change the political climate. I can't change the way people complain about being in this depressing area. I can't change those people, but I can try to give people the tools by exposing them to some ideas, whether it be the concept of core values, whether it be the concept of the emotional roller coaster, whether it be company culture by design. I mean, whatever these elements are, to give them the exposure and hopefully make a shift from the people who are running these companies and making decisions to be better employers, because it pays off. We see it. We don't have a turnover problem, and other people do, you know, focusing on the right things for their business. So that's a way that we're giving back. And, you know, why do I do it?
Yeah, well, why?
It's when we've got so much time on this planet, and I'm not going to try to get existential here, but we can make the planet better for our time here, or we can make it worse. There was a philosophy that I heard a while back that said, you know, there's a person has multiple deaths. They have the time when they physically die, and they have the last time that person's spoken of. I don't plan on dying for a long time. I want to have a more lasting impact on the world that we live in, the community that we live in. I want to make it a better place, and that gives significance. You know, I know the number of people that are listening to this are just starting out, or they're scrambling, they're struggling to find what their methodology is. At some point, when you have your success and you have your money and you have your cars and you have your toys, there's something beyond that, and that's the significance, and you really have to find what that is. So we basically dedicate that we're going to spend at least 5%, and we typically go over that 5% of our company profits in things that don't drive an ROI, and we don't care about that, but help make the community a better place. So that's a sense of the types of things that we're doing. The why, the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
You feel good doing it when you know that you've made an impact. Yeah. For me, okay, we've been profitable. We make money. My financial needs are met. I'm the 100% shareholder in the company. To me, the most significant part of my day is when I pull into the parking lot, I see 50 cars in the parking lot, and I know that 50 people have good jobs that otherwise wouldn't if we weren't doing what we do. That is significant, and that's something that I can be pretty darn proud of.
Great. That is awesome. I appreciate it. So I'll send, if people want to check out fatwallet.com, obviously, if you buy anything online, it's probably worthwhile to go there and register and save some money. Is there anything else that you'd like to send people off to?
That pretty much sums it up. You know,
okay.
we focus on Fat Wallet, and that's our gig. If I will give a quick shout out, if you are in the affiliate marketing space, check out the Performance Marketing Association.com. I'm a board member with Performance Marketing Association. Please sign up, become a member. I think a membership's like $500 for a basic membership. Help support the things that will keep performance marketing in a viable alternative for us that started our work from home or the businesses that we have now. There's a number of legal fights going on, making sure that we can keep doing the things that we're doing, and it's a great cause to support.
Cool. What was that link again?
PerformanceMarketingAssociation.com.
Perfect. Tim, really appreciate it, and I think we are in time to go wash the face off.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.